ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। श्री रामकृष्ण इस टॉकिंग अबाउट कंप्लीट सरेंडर टू द डिवाइन मदर। अकॉर्डिंग टू वेदांत, एनी नॉलेज other than the knowledge of the Atman is called ignorance. Ignorance means that which only makes us suffer, whereas the knowledge of the Atman is the only thing that makes us free forever. It makes us remain in bliss, in unbroken bliss forever and ever. We come to have this kind of knowledge only by the grace of the Divine Mother. We have to be very clear here. What is the relationship between the Supreme Brahman, Nirguna Brahma, and Saguna Brahma? Nirguna Brahma, no attributes are imposed to look upon, one without a second. But to think about Nirguna Brahma is not possible. यतो वाचो निवर्तन्ते अप्राप्य मनसा सह, सो स्पीच रिटर्न्स अनेबल टू कॉम्प्रिहेंड अलोंग विद द माइंड। माइंड इज अ लिमिटेशन, मच लेस स्पीच इज मच मोर लिमिटेशन। दिस इज अ वंडरफुल पीस ऑफ नॉलेज। कैन वी रियली एक्सप्रेस व्हाट वी फील 100%? इफ समवन सक्सीड्स इन एक्सप्रेसिंग 1% ऑफ व्हाट एक्चुअली one understands, then he becomes one of the greatest expressioner. He may be a good writer, a good speaker, a good painter. All these are means of expression. Our day-to-day conversations, dialogues, talks are rubbish in comparison with that. Sri Ramakrishna, he understood it. And as we discussed many times, why did he not pursue purposefully? Why do I say purposefully? Because he was extraordinarily intelligent. He had the greatest power of memory and he never forgets. And when he wants something, it will come to his mind exactly at the right time, at the right place. And his motivation is always good. That's why, just to recollect, when I was explaining about the Gayatri Mantra, we have seen the meaning, Dhiyo Yonaha Prachodayat, O Divine Mother. Here, Sri Ramakrishna used to say, what Vedanta calls Brahman, I call Shakti, Divine Mother. There is no difference between Brahman and Shakti. When there is activity, Brahman is necessarily called Shakti, energy, time, space and causation. But when there is no mind even to think about Brahman, one doesn't say, now I will not think, so I will be in contact with Brahman. No, that is completely wrong. Having thoughts, having no thoughts, both are the conditions of the mind. When, as long as a person goes on thinking, either I think, I will think, or I will not think. Both are thoughts only, vrittis only. Just like in the deep sleep state, a person doesn't enter, now I will be in the deep sleep state. No, only when he forgets about that thought, that is called deep sleep state. So, Shakti is a concept of Nirguna Brahma according to the limitations of the mind, our minds. That's why Swami Vivekananda used to say, as man grows, God also grows. What he means is, as our understanding, our capacity, our intelligence to understand things grows, our capacity to understand God also grows. Not that God grows, but our understanding grows. That's what Sri Ramakrishna, he wants to say. I say to the Divine Mother, O Mother, I do not need to understand. please give me love for thy lotus feet. When a person understands, not only that, I do not need to understand. Really, I cannot understand. Why is there no need to understand? Because nobody says, I want to understand myself. But of course we say, I want to know myself. But even common persons, they think I am so and so. So with that idea, he never feels that let me question somebody about myself. Only what we do not know, something of which we have no knowledge, the desire arises. And that applies to Ananda also. When I know I am happy, the question of seeking happiness doesn't arise. Here I am going to speak about a marvelous point. Even if I am happy for 1 millisecond, for that millisecond, I do not feel that I am the body-mind, because Anandam is Brahman. At that time, for that 1 millisecond, I become one with Ananda, I become one with Brahman. But because it is caused, because of some outside external instrument, as soon as that instrument vanishes, that experience also vanishes, that oneness with Brahman also vanishes, all that we say is, I was happy. If anybody can say, I am happy, not only I was, but I am happy, he is a blessed person. So that is why when a person progresses, the more a person progresses, the more a person understands, I know very little. In the first stage, a person thinks, I know much. And then when his knowledge increases, in accordance with the increment of the knowledge, he also feels, oh, so much more is there. I thought only this much is there. So like that, his knowledge, unexplored, unknown knowledge, the every step reveals more and more of unknown knowledge. When a person really is very learned, he becomes very humble. What is that humility? That I know very little. And humility leads to even more correct knowledge, right knowledge, satyam. So that is why if you find anybody who claims that I am great knower, I am a great pundit, intellect, you have to understand that he really did not understand much. Not only that, he is moving in the opposite direction. Humility is like making more space. Whereas when a person becomes humble, he is filled by God himself, because more space. But when a man thinks, I know much, it is like keeping too many things in a small space and then expecting, what am I going to do? Lot more things I have, where am I going to keep? So that capacity to empty what is less valuable in order to keep what is more valuable, that is called humility. Sri Ramakrishna, we need not think about Sri Ramakrishna whether he was humble or not. And in order to test people like us, even people like M, what do you think about me? How much of knowledge I have? Once he asks M, what can M say? He said, sir, you are as infathomable as Brahman, of whom we do not know anything. So Sri Ramakrishna is telling us. He is not telling us. He is commanding us. Pray to the mother. Oh mother, I do not need to understand. That is why there is a beautiful Bengali song, Dema Amai Pagal Kore. Oh mother, make me mad. Mad with your love. Mad with bhakti towards you. That means a madman, he doesn't know anything about the world. We should become mad. Then only there is a chance for us. That is called humility. I do not need to understand. In fact, I cannot understand. But just give me love for thy lotus feet. It is a purely Indian expression. Why somebody questioned me, why always in Hindu devotional literature we go on getting this thy lotus feet. Pada padme tayo sritva pranamami muhur muhu. So it is because if we can get the feet, then we can get everything. There is a beautiful illustration by Sri Ramakrishna. Once Radha painted Krishna. She must have been the greatest artist. And who could know Krishna better than Radha? And she painted it, and the painting came to life and ran away. Of course, it is a divine play. Then Radha was also the same Shakti of Sri Krishna. And then she said, okay, next time I am going to paint you perfectly, just like this paint. But next time, I will cut off your feet. Let me see how you can run away. So, we do not never say that I want to understand Brahman. He cannot be understood. That is why in the Kena Upanishad, so he who knows all our sense organs, the eye cannot see him. He is the one who can see the eye, because he is the eye of the eye. Shrotrasya shrotram, ear of the ear. Chakshushaha chakshuhu, eye of the eye. He is the body of everybody. He is the knower. He is the pure consciousness, without which nothing can be known. So, this is a prayer continuously that should come from the very bottom of our heart. There was a time when Narendra Nath, he was extraordinarily intelligent and he had tremendous capacity for memory, just like a little bit lower than Sri Ramakrishna. So, there came a time in his spiritual progress, he said, if only I could forget everything that I know, then there is a chance for me to understand better. Earlier I was referring to Sri Ramakrishna. If he wanted, he could get everything. He could, what is called, he could be the best AI model. Not only he can read billions and billions of books. In fact, that is the statement given by, in the very first mantra of Mandukya Upanishad, that what was past, whatever is present, whatever is future, that is all Omkara Eva, Sarvam Omkara Eva. Omkara means Brahman. So Sri Ramakrishna could have become the greatest scholars if he wanted. But he wanted to prove, because Hindu society, we have to remember, had divided people into various categories of understanding. He who has the lowest understanding is called Shudra. A little, slightly more understanding, Vaishya. And more understanding, Kshatriya. And much more understanding, Brahmana. But even as a Brahmana, Hinduism divides even such a Brahmin's life into four stages of gradually increasing real knowledge. So, there is a beautiful verse, Janmana Jayate Shudraha. Everybody, including a Brahmin's son, every baby is an ignoramus. But by studying the scriptures under a competent guru, with complete faith and concentration, he will be called Dvija, twice born. That is why Yajnopavita is given. That is a stage which is called Brahmacharya Ashrama, to learn about goal of life, our nature, how to know who we really are. And then Grihastha Ashrama, then Vanaprastha Ashrama, finally Sannyasa Ashrama. What are these four stages? From the highest point of view, gradually progressing in the sphere of knowledge, theoretical knowledge, Brahmacharya Ashrama. Put it into practice, experience happiness and unhappiness, increase your faith in the scriptures. If I am happy, that's because I did dharmic actions. If I am not, I did the opposite. Then the instead of knowledge, we step into wisdom. And wisdom says, you are searching at a wrong place. And then the mind becomes withdrawn. Withdrawing means directing our attention to search in the right place. Where is the right place? Hridaya kamala mathye rajitam nirvikalpam. Turn the mind inwards and then progress through upasana. And then finally we enter into what we call sannyasashrama. Means what? Complete one-ment, oneness, unity. With whom? With our own self. Until now I am thinking, I am this possessions, I am this body, I am this mind, I am the waking state, I am the dream state, I am the deep sleep state. No, these are all limited states. I am that unlimited states which sustain all these limited states, every limited state. I am Brahman. So, in this way we can understand everything is progress in knowledge. About whom? About our own self. There is no separate being called Brahman. Even today we cherish this wrong notion. God is somewhere high up in Vaikuntha, Kailasa, our paradise, kingdom of heaven. And he is looking down upon us with a thunderbolt, according to Christians, and with a gada and shankha, or a trishula, trident, according to Vishnu Bhakta or Shiva Bhakta, to hurl it down. No, these are all meant so that we can turn towards him. God loves us. Does he love us? No, he doesn't love us. He loves himself because he knows we are none other than him. But we do not know that fact. That's why a baby can forget mother, but a mother can never forget the baby. So, through this saying, Ramakrishna also is telling, O mother, grant me bhakti for thy lotus feet. Question comes, interesting question. How much love should I ask God? One drop, that is enough. One drop of nectar, you simply put it in your mouth, you become immortal forever. You do not need the whole ocean. And then, the aim of human life is to attain bhakti. As for other things, the mother knows best. As I go on pondering over these words, more and more meaning unravels itself. What is the goal of life? Not jnanam, but bhakti. What is jnanam? That Brahman or God is my mother, my father, my friend, tvameva mata cha pita tvameva. So everything is God, none other than Bhagavan only. But even though it is true, even the gender discrimination can make heaven and hell difference. If we think of God as Father, which the Abrahamic religions, both Christianity, Judaism, as well as Islam, their concept of God is Father, protector, but a great judge. And he will not tolerate even a slightest deviation from his directions. Whereas, if it is a concept of the mother, we can deviate as much as we want. But mother understands. Even the dirtiest child, as Holy Mother says, with regard to Padma Vinode, my child was playing in the dirt. Now, I have to take him in my lap, wash him, put on new dress, and then circle him. What is the new dress? From a worldly dress to a spiritual dress. Circle him, because without me, he cannot be sustained. I have given birth to him. It's my responsibility to sustain him, to nourish him. And then what happens when my child falls ill? Then I will take him into my lap and let him rest. Until that time, he will be playing. Sri Ramakrishna wants to illustrate, I have come to the garden to eat mangoes. What is the use of my calculating the number of trees, branches and leaves? I only eat the mangoes. I don't need to know the number of trees and leaves. So, what is Sri Ramakrishna telling us? That I have come to the garden. What is this garden? This samsara. This creation. Why did I come? To eat mangoes. Because I want to play for some time. I played and then I became tired and I became hungry and I want to eat now. So this very samsara in which I can play, also there are gardens. And by mangoes, what does he mean? It is famous fruit in India and most humanity love mangoes. So it gives me joy. What does a mango represent? Happiness. What does a sweet represent? Happiness. What does a beloved represent? Happiness. Anything I love, love means happiness. And as long as an object gives me happiness, I love it. But then, as we were discussing in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, every object only acts as a mirror to reflect, to guide us. What you are seeking is within yourself. It's a beautiful analogy. We are seeking something, then you see, we have to put a mirror. Where do you use mirror really? When you are seeking something, do you really use it? I use it sometimes. You know what happens? So something has slipped and then fallen down and it has gone under the almirah. Now I cannot bend. Even if I bend, I can't see. What do? I take a mirror, I take a torch and I lit the torch and I put a mirror there angle wise and then whatever is there beneath that almirah, I see, oh, here is where I have lost a valuable thing, very important thing. I get it. What is a valuable thing? Anything can be valuable if that is the only thing which can save our life. Nothing else. So I have come to this garden deliberately after playing. What is this garden? Where it is the holy company is the garden. Because there are many gardens. Bitter gourd garden is there. Other gardens are there. But I don't want to go to those gardens. I want to come where the best fruits, it could be mangoes, oranges, plums, pears, anything that I love is available there. And Sri Ramakrishna says, what is wisdom? Do not calculate. I only eat the mangoes. I don't need to know the number of trees and leaves. What does Sri Ramakrishna mean? He means that don't waste your time in so many other things. But then we go on searching what we should not search for, where we should not search for. But then that is also part of the game. That's why I narrated one beautiful small parable, so to say. There were two friends, 3 miles apart, and one of them is highly myopic. He can't see anything without specs. Once he thought he lost his specs, and so he searched, but of course he couldn't see anything. So he wanted to take the help of his friend, and it was night. So he ran 3 miles to reach his friend and knocked at midnight. And the friend opened and came to know that you please help me to find my specs which I seem to have lost. And the friend laughed and said that, fool, how did you run 3 miles when you cannot see anything? Whether you are running in the eastern direction, western direction, then the man understood. Oh, all the time, even to search for my specs, I need my specs. But I totally forgot about it. This is the small parable. The question now is it necessary for this person to run 3 miles? Yes, it was necessary to run 3 miles to know it was completely unnecessary to run. That wisdom that I should not search here and there, I should search in the right place. For that purpose, Guru Meva Ashraye. One should take recourse to a person who knows. Who is a guru? A guru is one who knows what I am searching for. He knows exactly what I am searching, and he can guide us unerringly to that place. So I don't need to know, but I go on counting, making me tired, until that wisdom dawns that why am I counting the leaves? I have come to the garden to remove my hunger, to remove my thirst. Let me drink coconut water, etc. Now, this is the greatness of the gospel. M not only gives the sayings, the teachings, but the background story. As if we can visualize Ramakrishna, Dakshineswar, or wherever he goes, and what he is doing, who was with him, and what they were doing, this is called Leela Dhyana. So, M continues. Babu Ram, M, and Ramdaya slept that night on the floor of the master's room. It was an early hour of the morning, about 2 or 3 o'clock. The room was dark. Ramakrishna was seated on his bed and now and then conversed with the devotees. And Ramakrishna was talking. We have to understand, when we are not only reading but studying with an open eye this gospel of Ramakrishna, like the gospel of New Testament. Gospel means good news. We have to understand Ramakrishna doesn't go on talking irrelevantly. So whatever comes to his mouth, it all depends upon which people are present in front of him and what they require. So Ramakrishna is now talking about discrimination. He himself raises the question, what is discrimination? And Ramakrishna exclaims, everybody must practice discrimination all the time. So, Master, remember that Daya, compassion, and Maya, attachment, are two different things. What is the very first act of discrimination? Am I under the spell of Maya or Daya? So, what is the distinction? This is the very first thing we have to understand. Remember that Daya, compassion, Maya, attachment are two different things. Vidurameete, Viparite, Vishuchi. Yamadharma Raja starts teaching Nachiketa. There is this path of Shreyas and there is this path of Prayas. Dhuramete, they are far distant from each other. Viparite, one is going in one direction, another is going in another direction. And not only that, they yield two totally opposite results. One liberates us, another binds us more and more. And Ramakrishna says, these are two different things. And then Yamadharma Raja continues there. And the essence of what Yamadharma Raja taught to Nachiketa is being squeezed and expressed in the simplest language by Ramakrishna. Attachment means the feeling of minus towards one's relatives. They may look like very ordinary words, but pay special attention. We are all attached. Who is this person? This person is my husband, my wife, and we are naturally attached. What is attachment? I am my husband. I am my wife. So when a person is attached to the husband, that is wife, then she feels. If husband is happy, wife is happy. Husband is unhappy, wife also is unhappy. Vice versa. Now extend it to children, to parents, to friends, to one's own religion, to one's own property, possessions, everything. So when I say, for example, I am only expanding it to enjoy this gospel of Sri Ramakrishna more and more. Otherwise, we can finish the whole thing in 3 sentences of Swami Vivekananda. The goal of life is to realize God, which means to know myself that I am God, and to manifest this forgotten truth and know who we really are. There are infinite pathways, and all these infinite pathways can more or less be divided into 4 pathways of Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga. And the last, that practice either 1 or 2 or combine everything and know who you are. That is called free. I am a free person. I am not a samsari. To know I am the body is to say I am bound. To know I am the mind is to know I am bound. What is freedom? I am not the body, I am not the mind, etc. So, Sri Ramakrishna is pointing a profoundly psychological fact. When I look at my husband, I do not feel that this is another person. Of course, he is my husband, but it doesn't matter, he is another person. How can his pain, his happiness, his well-being, his prosperity, his power be mine? No. I feel, as it were, I am my husband. So, if something threatens him, I am threatened. That is what is called, when we use the words like empathy or sympathy, that means similar feeling, like the other person. I am putting myself, I am identifying myself. He is not the other person. I am that other person. That is what Sri Ramakrishna means. Any attachment means minus. So funny thing is there. If somebody says, this is my house, so I am the house. This is my money. I am the money. This is my dog. I am the dog. This is my donkey. I am a donkey. Looks funny, but no, that is the truth. So what is this minus towards one's relatives? It is the love one feels for one's parents, one's brother, one's sister, one's wife and children, and you can go on adding, etc., 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 etc. So what happens when we feel attached to anything in this world? We feel we are that object. The moment attachment is there, that object disappears, and I identify myself as that particular object. What a pity. Compassion, on the other hand, is the love one feels for all beings of the world. It is an attitude of equality. It's a beautiful story. There was a great Christian saint. Somebody had given him a very precious, invaluable antique of, I think, Jesus Christ or a cross, something like that. Other than that, he did not possess anything at all. One day, a robber entered into his room, which is bare of everything excepting this precious antique. And then the person threatened, give me whatever you have. And gladly the saint said that, look there, whatever I possess is in that box on that shelf. So the thief ran there, caught hold of the box, opened it, and found out this invaluable antique. He knew it. And then he was going away. And then the saint called him and said, Ray, I told you where to find it. You have not even said thanks to me. And somehow the thief, he said thanks to you and ran away. But then that fellow was probably very miserly fellow. So he went on to rob some other people also in that mood. Somehow he was caught. He was brought before the magistrate, and then he asked that he was caught with the goods that he had stolen. Everything was identified. To their surprise, they found this precious antique, which everybody knew the saint was having. And then the saint was sent for. He was asked, is this your antique? Yes, it is mine. And this person had stolen No, 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 no. He came to me yesterday night. He asked me politely, do I have anything valuable? I said, yes, there is valuable. I pointed out to him, and then he took it. And while going, he also thanked me. So it is not that he stole from me, but I had given him, exactly given him away. I think there is a French novel, I forget the name, some silver candlesticks, a thief steals from a bishop, and the bishop does exactly that. And it is not just a story, a fable. In the life of Pauhari Baba, he had considered the thief as Sri Rama, appalized to him, and then placed the thief after bundling, threw it away out of fright and started running, and then said, pardon me, Rama, for interrupting your work by waking up. And that thief, he became converted, just like in that story. That thief also became, he joined soon the Christian mission, and he became a great saint. And so many stories are there, but I cannot restrain myself. But I will tell you a beautiful story from Desert Fathers. There was a very famous saint, a Desert Father. They are called Desert Fathers because some Christians totally renounced the world, went into the Egyptian deserts. They found out some caves and led very austere life. And in those days, printing presses were not there. So some of the monks, as a service to humanity, started copying the Bibles. And then when they complete, they present it to somebody whom they revered as their token of their devotion. So somebody had given a very precious illustrated Bible, and the father kept it, and soon another man joined him, and it was a tradition in those days, the new brahmacharis or novices, they are sent, and this one novice was sent, and he lived with this father, and he knew about this Bible, and he knew it is invaluable, and then one day he stole it, and then he ran away. And he went to the next town and went to a merchant who buys this kind of precious books, etc. And he said, I want to sell it. How much will you give it to me? And the man said, I will give it to you 18 shillings, something like that. It is a story. And the merchant said, I don't know the value of it. Leave it with me tonight. Come tomorrow morning. I will give you the money. So the monk went away. Next morning he came. He said I will give you $18. You sell it to me. And then the monk was curious. How did you know? He said, yesterday I went to that famous monk, not knowing that it was his copy only, this novice had stolen. And he asked, Abba, Abba means father. Abba, is this book worth 18 shillings? One man had demanded. The Abba said, no, 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 not 18 shillings. It is worth more than 20 shillings. Don't cheat the other person. Give him more. Of course, the merchant, he was demanded 18. Of course, that is how I came to know. The monk heard everything in stunned silence, and he asked, did the monk say anything more? He said, no. Only he said, it is definitely worth more than 18 shillings. And the monk said, I do not want to sell it, and took back the Bible, ran to his, what you call, Abba, fell at his feet and said, Abba, I have committed a crime. Please pardon me. Take back your book. The monk said, my son, I do not need it. I have read it many times. You keep it. But the monk said, I will never have peace of mind in my whole life if you do not accept it. And then, out of compassion, the Abba had accepted the Bible, and that disciple remained until the death of this Abba, and himself became one of the greatest saints in those days. By the way, it is what is called the 4th century after Christ. Many, many people had renounced the home and went. Some of them were butchered by Muslims, Vandals, by many people. This terrible intolerance between the one religion and another religion is how many Christians were burnt to death, and vice versa, the holy crusades wars have taken place. Whereas Sri Ramakrishna had come to teach the real truth. Infinite is God, infinite are the ways to God. But here we have to be cautious and say, even though infinite are the ways, it doesn't mean a person can follow whatever he wants. No, a person must follow, he must have a right guide who will teach him according to the capacity, receiving capacity, slowly guides him, takes him up along with him, like the Everest guides, some of the Sherpas like that, until he takes him and then gave him satisfaction. By the way, you know that one British mountain climber, he had climbed a Mount Everest for the first time, and there was also a Sherpa. The name of the Sherpa who carried his goods, not only carried, but he also went and climbed Mount Everest, not once, I think quite a number of times, guiding these aspiring mountaineers. His name is hardly mentioned. It is only the first climber. That is what the Western press really tells. Now, of course, people recognize he was one of the people. Anyway, coming back, what is meant is that what is compassion? That this person, he might have been tempted, but he is also God. And one day the godliness will manifest him. And he never cherished any negative feeling towards this person. And that is called real compassion. So many people became saints. First, they were doing wrong things. But to their great good fortune, God had shown mercy. We have so many stories. The most famous story is that of Ratnakara, who later on became famous as Valmiki. Ramakrishna is trying to tell something referring to that. So if you see anywhere an instance of compassion, as in Vidyasagar, know that it is due to the grace of God. Through compassion, one serves all beings. So we have to reformulate what Sri Ramakrishna said. Maya, what is it? Attachment. What is attachment? The feeling, I am money, I am the house, I am my property, I am my parents, family, co-religionists, etc. I become all those things. That is called minus. What is compassion? We have seen in the last Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we have been contacting and said gradually. So the disciple is taken to the highest path where the lesser things are included in the higher things. The many slowly are included in the one. And then there will come a stage which is both beyond one and many. And you cannot even say it is one. Only when we are in the realm of the mind, samsara, we can say, oh, that is one and this is many. Ekam sat, so that is one. Ekameva advitiyam. There is no second. Who can issue this statement? Not one who is merged in Brahman. Only by a person who had that experience, comes out, separates himself, that too by God's will, only he can say that and nobody else. And Sri Ramakrishna admired Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, was really a very compassionate soul. He dedicated his whole life in the service of Indians, especially the widow remarriage. Why not? A girl is married and her husband dies. Sometimes even before they met for consummation, sometimes they might have lived for a few years together, But the husband is very old compared. They used to, the parents used to fight with each other to marry their younger, youngest daughters to very old men because they belong to the Kulina Brahmana. How many women, girls had to suffer early widowhood? And many times these widows were also burnt purely for the sake of the money, the properties the widow possesses automatically. That means when the husband is rich and there is no issue and the widow is left with all that, if we can burn that widow, then all that property will go to these scheming relatives. That is what happens. But through compassion, one serves all beings. Even this sentence, we have to take with a big pinch of salt. Through compassion, one doesn't serve anybody. One serves only oneself. Why? Compassion means what? Feeling I-ness, not towards a few people, but towards everything. The story of the Namadeva, who walked from Varanasi, Kashi, to Rameshwaram with a half pitcher of water with which he bathed Lord Shiva in Kashi, and the other half should be poured on the Shivalinga at Rameshwar. Just before entering the Rameshwara temple, he saw a donkey dying of thirst, and he went, ran there and poured every drop of it into the mouth of the donkey. Whether the donkey survived or not, that's not the point here. The point is, he saw the same Lord Rameshwara, Shiva, in the donkey. If a person can see God in a donkey, why not in other things? So that is the vision we must have. Compassion rarely means what Sri Ramakrishna meant. Compassion means what? Compassion means for us, I am in a position to help. And it gives me a peculiar joy to help other people. So I get some satisfaction and I show compassion not upon everybody. I mean, to show sympathy and help people towards whom we are attached. That is a normal thing. But a compassionate person, he helps everybody. But even in that compassion, it is not to feel that I am superior to you, but to feel I am blessed, privileged, even to do this little thing. It is only God's grace which has given me this tremendous privilege. That is what Sri Ramakrishna said one day explaining Vaishnava tenets. The first, Name Ruchi, tremendous taste towards God's name. And that is the very first thing we have to acquire. Then Vaishnava Seva, service to all devotees, but not only devotees, to anybody who is a good person. Because by serving them, by cultivating association with them, we also can become like that. But the last thing is, these are three graduated steps. First, to develop taste for God, love for God. Only then the association becomes really fruitful. A natural desire to go and hear the holy people, to serve them, arises. So, when a person associates with a holy person, what is the idea? This person is God himself. God himself is manifesting as this great sadhu, sannyasi, holy person. And after some time, extend that feeling of seeing God not only in good and great people, but in everybody. So when Sri Ramakrishna came to the third tenet, that it is not compassion. Who are you to show compassion? You are the most miserable of creatures. You have no capacity even to be compassionate towards your own self. What to speak of others? And then, but Shiva Jnane Jiva Seva, serving Shiva, you should look upon first. This is not a Jiva. It's a wonderful opportunity given to me by God. God himself has given. this opportunity. So I am serving Lord Shiva himself. That is the real meaning. That is called Shiva Gnane Jiva Shiva. And just now I remembered, and we have to remember like these connections. In the Bhagavatam, there is the story of Bali Chakravarti. Bali Chakravarti, he was the grandson of Prahlada, one of the greatest devotees of Bhagavan Vishnu. And such a person cannot be devoid of Vishnu Bhakti. Once he was performing a yajna, he made a promise. Whichever Brahmana comes to me, I will fulfill whatever he wants. I will not say I will give you only this much. And Vishnu became compassionate. He wanted to bestow sarvagnatvam, atmagnanam. Not that he needed anything. Took the form of a dwarf, Vamana, came. And then as soon as he came, Shukracharya, the guru of Bali Chakravarti, he warned Bali, don't give anything. This is that crafty, clever Vishnu. He is coming to deprive you. Everything you have, you are going to lose. And he uttered these words, but he did not know what those words really meant. But Bali Chakravarti turned and said, you should have said, you are the most stupid guru. It is my misfortune to choose you. Because if he is really Lord Vishnu, not to speak of anybody, then I should consider it as the greatest privilege. Everybody is running to God. And God is coming to beg of me. I am not going to leave this greatest opportunity. So when this Vama, he came and then he gave everything. I only want 3 footsteps. What is it? I want your body. I want your mind. I want your causal body. All the 3 bodies, I want. You surrender yourself. That surrender is called Bali. It is nothing but complete self-surrender to the divine. And Bali unhesitatingly had given. After all, he was the grandchild of Prahlada. And immediately Lord Vishnu puts his foot on the head, giving a certificate. This is one of my children, my beloved child. Thereafterwards, that is the real Bali. Bali means complete self-surrender. That is the meaning, purpose of Bali. Beautiful thoughts are there. We will talk about them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoh. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.